Okay, so tonight, as I said, it's going to look a bit different, but I'm super excited, to be honest, because if God interrupts our plans, don't you think he'll make it even better? You know, there was, on Facebook, there was this, you know, these stupid little memes, but sometimes they actually mean something. There was one of these memes that I'm just thinking of now as I'm speaking, where it's a little girl, and then Jesus, not that we know what Jesus looks like exactly, but there's this picture of Jesus, you know, the typical Jesus picture. And he's standing in front of this girl, and she's holding a little teddy bear, and then Jesus behind his back is holding this massive teddy bear. And then he says, "Just give me your teddy bear." And the little girl says, "No, I don't want to give my teddy bear." And Jesus says to her, "Just trust me." And obviously, when we look at the little meme, we can see that Jesus wants to give her something better. But in order for her to receive the better, she has to give up that which she knows. And she knows she's got a little teddy bear. That's what she knows. That's what she likes. That's what she enjoys. But God sometimes comes into our lives and he says, "I know that's what you know. And I know that's maybe the way that you think I always work." But there are those times that God just steps into our lives and he says, "I want to challenge you to give up control. To give up the ways that you think, the ways that you know, the ways that you grew up with, and to just surrender to me and give your ways to me, and I'm going to even give you better." So just imagine that. I know some of the boys here, you don't want a teddy bear. You want something else. So it's not like Jesus is standing with a teddy bear, but just imagine that tonight. Jesus is saying, "I've got something better for you tonight than even Leonard and the leaders than they planned. I've got something better." But what I'm asking of each person here, because this is not just for me, but for each of us, that we would surrender our ways that we think of God, surrender our ways of what we think church should look like, surrender our ways of what we think a message, a sermon should look like, worship should look like, that we surrender those things and say, "God, tonight, come and do it your way." Can we make that as a commitment tonight? Can we? You sure? Right. Cool. So, the last while, and I'm just going to share a short message, and we're going to go back into a time of worship that I'm trusting that God is going to move in the time of worship. It's just something I felt for tonight. But the last while, we've been speaking about Acts 2, 42 to 47. We said we're starting a church, and the healthiest church that we know of that ever existed on the face of the earth was the early church. It was the very first church that came after Jesus Christ died and ascended. He said, "I'm sending you the Holy Spirit." And he asked them, "Wait for the Holy Spirit." 120 people wait in a room for the Holy Spirit. "And if you wait there, I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit on this group of people, and the church will be birthed." And as today, we are just an outflow of a move of God 2,000 years ago, where he poured out his Spirit, his Holy Spirit. That's something that might be foreign for some of you still. But he poured out his Holy Spirit on 120 people, and everything, the course of history, changed because the church was birthed. And I'm telling you, it was a radical church. They loved God fully. And so what we've been doing for the first while is we've been saying, "God, we know we won't be a perfect church. We also don't want to be like some of you with your studies, you know, like 50% just get through. We don't want that. I know some of you, I've heard. That's not what we want. God, we want to aim for the 100%. We want to aim for what you see as a healthy church. God, and if it doesn't suit us, if it's different than what we think and what we like, God, we do not care. We want to do it your way. We want to do church God's way." And so let's just quickly go through the scriptures that we've been looking at. You can go to 2 verse 42. "And they devoted themselves," sorry for the background, "to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer." Just 1 minute, all right? It's a lot of grace. That's okay. And the next one. And this is what I specifically want to speak about tonight, something that I feel God wants to come and establish in us as a church. "And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles." We're going to get back to this now. You can go to the next verse. "And all who believed were together and owed all things in common." And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. So they were living together. They were like a real family. Can you go on? And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. And then the last verse, thank you, Yandre. Can you give him a round of applause? He's doing... It's his first time. We praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And you can go back to verse 43. So this is something of a foundation that we felt God wants to establish in us. And we said, let's just take a few weeks and look at what God wants to do. And specifically verse 43, I really felt in my preparation, I wanted to preach about something different. And I felt God bringing us back to this place. And awe came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were being done through the apostles. So I want to ask you, when last were you in awe of God? When last were you like, oh my word, God, that blows my mind. Oh my God, I didn't know you could do that. I didn't know you moved like that. I didn't know you thought like that. I didn't know that that was what you are like. God, I'm in awe. When last were you like that? Because you see, what awe does is, I'll tell you this story, someone that explained it well to me. He said, just imagine the most beautiful place on earth that you've ever seen. For me, a very beautiful place is, maybe not the most beautiful, but Meiringspoort. Those of you who have ever driven in Meiringspoort, it's beautiful. It's like this little stream. There's these big mountains. And when you drive through there, you see the sun, these beams of light just coming through. It is incredibly beautiful. And the guy explained it like this. He says, just imagine you are sleeping in the car, not while you're driving. Someone else is driving. Hopefully you're not driving. Someone else is driving. And your friend or your husband or your wife, they're driving. And while you're sleeping in the car, they drive into Meiringspoort. And it's beautiful. And they wake you up. And they say, Leonard or whoever you are, look. And just imagine that moment where you open up your eyes and you see that beauty. What do you say? It's not a trick question. What do you think you'll say? Wow, right? Hopefully not, the cliffs. No, it's more like, wow, whoa, wow, God. That is awe. It's when you see something of God that you've never seen before, or God opens up your eyes to something beautiful of his nature, awe comes upon us. When last were you in awe of God? Because I'm telling you, God wants us to be a church that doesn't only go through the motions, a church that doesn't only like have this liturgy, meaning we're going to come in, we're going to hang out together a little bit, there's going to be 10 rand coffee and coffee for the visitors, and then we're going to do announcements, then there's going to be worship, we're going to preach, we're going to hang out afterwards, and we go home. God doesn't want that of us. God wants us to be a church that regularly our eyes just get opened up and we're like, whoa, God. Wow, God. God wants us to be a church of awe. Because if we're a church of awe, then God moves. And he wants to show us more. And he's going to show us more. So I want to provoke you in a sense tonight to say, if there's no awe in your life, if you've gotten used to the idea of God, if you've grown comfortable with the idea of God, I want to wake you up tonight. I'm going to say, wake up. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Look, look at the mountains. Look at the sun. Look at the beauty. Look at our God. And I'm trusting that as we do that tonight, as God comes, and I'm trusting that he's going to move tonight, that eyes would be opened up and that you will see something fresh of God. That he'd, those hearts, and I know, those hearts that have grown cold, I'm trusting tonight that we would not just be a church that leaves your heart cold, but that as God's presence is with us, that your heart gets warm again. If your heart has turned to stone, I believe God wants to come tonight. He wants to turn it into a heart of flesh again. If you've come to a place where you've just grown lukewarm, I believe God wants to make you red hot, firing for him. And I'm hoping that that's something that makes you excited. If your light was off, God wants to switch your light on tonight, okay? He wants to. Hopefully not if... No, I'm not going to say. He wants to switch your light on. Does that excite you? Does it excite you? Listen to me. Listen. I wanted to speak for like 5 minutes. I'm not going to speak for 5 minutes. It's not going to happen. Because I really feel like God wants to do something. Listen to me. If you're not angry for it, it's not going to happen. If you are not hungry for that light to be switched on, it's going to be flickering all night. It's going to be like, and it'll be better now. Don't worry. Just give it a minute or two. Try and not be distracted. But I'm telling you, if you're not hungry for God to make your heart alive again, if you've grown stale in your walk with God, it is not going to happen. So are you angry? Yeah. If you're not angry, you better start becoming angry. You better start speaking to yourself and reminding yourself of who God is. And just like, I'm hoping that as I speak, something of anger starts just, I'm trusting that while I'm experiencing God, it would be like I'm eating steak in front of you and you haven't eaten for a while. I'm trusting that you'll start salivating like, oh, that looks good. I want to experience what Leonard is experiencing tonight, or what Hannes, or what some of the people here are experiencing. Because there's people who are in awe of God, and I'm trusting tonight, God, we want to be a church where we're in awe of you. Just put your focus on God for a moment. I'm going to speak more now. Just put your heart, put your focus on God. Don't disengage. Just have your focus on God. Just you start thinking of God, communicating with God. God, I thank you that you are here tonight. And I thank you that if Meiringspoort is beautiful, God, you are 1,000,000,000 times more beautiful than that. God, we open up our hearts to you tonight. Just start saying that to God. Just speaking your anger to God. It's okay if the person next to you hears you. God, we're angry for you. God, we're angry for your presence. God, we're angry that this would be a church where we commune with you, where we're with you, where we see you moving. God, we're angry that this will be a place where we see your power moving. God, we're angry that this would be a place where it's not just good ideas that shed, but God ideas that transform us. God, we're angry for transformed lives. God, we're angry for your presence. We're angry for the awe of you, for the miracles, for the signs, for the wonders. We're angry for those things that only you can do that we cannot do, God. We are angry for you. We are angry for you, God. And if there's any heart that's not angry, Lord, I pray that you'd just start igniting that anger in every heart this evening. God, if there are hearts that have settled for just a stale relationship with you, God, wake up every heart. Wake up every heart this evening. Wake up every heart. So, I'm not praying anymore. I'm not going to say amen because we're not done yet. I'll say amen later. But what I want to do is, I had this message prepared, but I feel like God wants to wake up something in us tonight. And I actually just want to share three stories out of my life, sort of areas where God came and woke me up, and where God taught me how to seek his presence. Just three significant moments in my life. And I'm not pretending to be perfect. I'm not pretending to have it all together. I lack so many times. But I just want to share out of my brokenness. I want to share with you tonight some things that I believe God has shown me and that I want you to grab hold of and say, God, I want those same lessons in my life. And tonight, I'm trusting that we would apply just some of these things. So I'm checking my message and I'm just sharing my life with you tonight. And so the first thing that I want to share with you is a couple of years ago, we went to, there was this massive conference in Cape Town. Well, not conference, it was a worship evening actually. And those of you who've been to Greenpoint Stadium, anyone ever been to Greenpoint? One or two of you? No, a couple of you? It's quite an atmosphere when you get there. It's exhilarating. I was excited because we weren't going for the soccer. We weren't going for just to the tennis, which was quite cool. I must say that was cool as well. We weren't going for that. We were going for a worship evening. And when I came to that worship evening, I was really so impressed by everything that was happening there. Everything was done well. When you walked in, the designs were perfect. I was really impressed. And as we went in, there were people greeting you, and it was just a warm, friendly atmosphere. And as we went in, the worship was immaculate. It was a team from overseas. And they did it so well. Everything was perfectly in its place. It was really incredible. When the guy got up and he shared a message, it was a good, stirring message. I felt like, yeah, that was a good message. I wish I could preach that well, like weave it, have good words like that that I could put together, and it could be such a good message. It was inspiring. And just through the evening, they had these videos playing, and the videos were incredible. I just thought, like, this is a well-done evening. Everything is well done. It's good. It's well done. But somewhere during the course of the evening, while there was a video playing and just after worship, someone in the crowd behind me somewhere started shouting. And I knew, because I've been in those situations, I knew it wasn't just someone shouting for excitement. I knew it was someone with going through a demonic manifestation. Now, I know for some of you, you're like, that is weird. Demons, what? That's strange. What are you speaking about? But I want to tell you, if stuff is in the Bible, again, I want to say to you tonight, just because you don't know it, just because it doesn't fit into your box, does not mean it doesn't exist. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And I've been in situations where I've seen demons being driven out of people, people who I knew, soft-spoken people, like these, like friendly, warm, cuddly people, and somewhere they let the devil slip into their life, and they were, and I've seen people going through demonic manifestations, like a demon gets hold of them, and the demon needs to be driven out. And if you open up your Bible and you read the Bible is full of stories of these things. Jesus cast out demons. Paul cast out demons. It happened in the Bible, and I believe it wasn't just for the Bible, it's for today. And you know what? I actually love it. I feel like a bit of a ghostbuster. I love it. You know why I love it? These, like, when demons get driven out of people. Because some of you are like, please, God, never me. Let me never be where that happens. Anyone that's a bit freaked out by that, be honest, okay? We've got a few honest people, yeah? It's scary initially, but you know why I actually love it? It's because you see the spiritual in the natural. Listen, I'm not going to stay to my notes tonight. I'm just going to preach where I feel God is leading. You know what? When we speak about forgiveness, the Bible says, forgive and you will be forgiven. That's a nice spiritual concept. But every demon I've seen being driven out, every one of them, you know when they went? It was when someone forgave. Like we struggled. I've been in sessions where we struggled to drive this demon out. The guy's like, it's like that. Come out. No, I won't come out. I've seriously, like soft-spoken people, little boy like this, and he starts shouting like a man. And you know what? And I've seen, we're praying, and the thing doesn't want to go out, and we're like, is there someone that you haven't forgiven? And in that specific session, the boy said, yes, my father. I haven't forgiven my father for what he's done to me. And we said, forgive your father. The moment he forgave his father, the demon went. It was deliverance. The guy was filled with the Holy Spirit, started crying. We saw the love of God just pouring over this guy. You know what? It's good hearing about a concept, forgive. But in that moment, you see what unforgiveness can do to your heart. If you've got offense and unforgiveness. So anyway, that's not the point. The point is, so don't be scared of it. It's actually, Jesus gives us authority. You don't have to be scared of those things. The Bible says, Jesus says, you are my ambassadors. You can move in that same way. You can see those things happening. And also don't like be thinking the whole time, do I have a demon now? Don't be like that, okay? That's not. But someone was shouting and the ghostbuster in me got quite excited. So I ran up. I'm like, where's the person? Where's the person? I love seeing it because I see the love of God more in those moments than other moments. I love it actually. And I ran up and I got to this person. And when I got there, some people were already praying for the lady. They were already doing it. And I thought, okay, cool, I'm just going to pray with, and I went to sit down. And when I went to sit down, I just experienced God dropping something in my heart. And you know what? When God speaks to you, for me, it's not like this audible voice out of the heaven, Leonard, I'm going to speak to you now. It's not like that. It's just, it's an impression. It's something in my heart that I strongly feel. And I felt God putting something in my heart. And it was something of a question. And the question I felt was God asking me, Leonard, out of everyone that was here tonight, who do you think is going to walk away changed? Who are you convinced is going to walk away changed? What do you think? That lady, why? Why? Because she had an encounter with the Lord. Because she was in God's presence and he set her free. You know what? We can have church that's perfect. You can come here. We can do it better. I'm telling you. We can have like the lights. We can have the smoke. We can have a professional team that knows exactly 17 minutes past 9 what song is going to be playing, what chord we're going to be on. We can do those things. We're getting a few good musicians. We're getting Stefan, man. He's quite good. We can train him. We can make him like professional. But you know what? Even if we do that professionally, even if we had professional people greeting you at the door, even if we got like actual good, no, our coffee is okay. But even if we got like good coffee, we had truth coffee here, even if we could make the service, this church thing that we're doing, if we could make it immaculate, you know what? It's not going to change you. I can refer you to many churches where you can walk in and it's going to be immaculate. It's going to be done well. I'm telling you, that does not change a person. It can change you on the outside. It cannot change your inside. You know what changes your inside? You know what makes you a new person? You know what sets you free? You know what opens your eyes? It's being in the presence of God. And I think just us as a generation, we've become used to a show. We've become used to the superficial. We've become used to things being done perfectly. And if this church doesn't do it well enough, I'll go to a church that does it better. I'm telling you, you can find churches that do it better. I'm telling you. But the most important thing of a church that every church and every member, every person at a church needs to answer is the presence of God the thing that we're running after? Because if I could have you guys worshiping, singing songs and enjoying it tonight, that is not going to change anything. But if Hannes and the guys, if they can lead worship and you tap into Jesus tonight and you come into his presence, you know what? You're going to walk away changed. You are going to be changed. But we stop ourselves. Because it doesn't fit into our box. We get bored. Or something distracts us. And those things are normal, but it doesn't mean that we should keep it there. Are you angry? Are you angry? Are you angry to press through the distractions, press through the like thoughts, press through the things that are trying to steal your attention, and hungry to come into worship and say, God, I don't care about the songs. I don't care about my friend. I don't care about any other thing. God, I care about coming into your presence tonight. God, you say in your word that if I seek you with all of my heart, I will find you. God, I'm going to seek you till I find you. When last have you done that? When last? Or do we give up? Do we pray for a while and feel like, it's not working. I'm going to go sit in my chair. It's not working. I'm going to read my Bible rather. This is not working for me. Are we a people that persevere? Are we a people that say, God, I'm not letting go until I touch you? I'm just thinking of that story. Many of you would have heard this, of the woman with the issue of blood in the Bible. It said that she saw Jesus and she saw a massive crowd forming around Jesus, but she knew that if she could press through the crowd and touch the hem of his garment, that she knew that power would come from him and she would be healed. Do you have the faith of the woman with the issue of blood? Because I'm telling you, you have an issue in your life. You have something. You have an area of your life that God wants to come and touch. He wants to come and heal. He does. It's his desire. But are you willing to say, God, I'm hungry enough that I'm going to press through the crowd. I'm going to body slam people out of the way, God. Whatever I need to do, I want to do anything to get to you so I can just touch Jesus. Because I know that if I press through, if I come into your presence, if I touch you, God, you're going to change me. You're going to transform me. I'm going to see you. Am I making sense, guys? Is it stirring up a bit of anger in you? Is it? Okay. If not, then maybe you have to check your heart. Maybe you do have to check your heart and just say, Jesus, just pray a simple prayer then. Jesus, maybe my heart has grown hard. Come and soften it again. Come and soften it again.
Hey guys, sorry. I just want to jump in here.
Sorry, yes. This is Hannes. Hannes leads the Melkbos Josh Chen in Melkbos Strand, if you were wondering. The Melkbos one, so yeah.
Cool. Hello. I just want to jump in here. So we didn't prep this at all, but I do feel that there's some of you sitting here and you're like listening to Leonard and you're like, I really want to, like, I just don't know even what it means to be hungry for the Lord. Like, if you've never actually tasted God, or like, what does it look like? And just prepping on the way, Leonard phoned me at 1 o'clock this afternoon and said, can you come through and help lead worship? And I'm like, okay, I'll come through and lead worship. And on the way here, I said to my wife, I have no clue what we're going to do tonight, okay? And I stole that. But something I felt is that the Lord said, He wants us to respond tonight in a way that's appropriate, okay? I'm telling you, God is going to come, all right? As Leonard is speaking and as we're going to worship, I believe that the Lord is going to come, but He needs us to respond to Him tonight in a way that's appropriate, okay? And I want to challenge you, man. Maybe you grew up like me in a church that you weren't allowed to do anything. Really, I've been there, okay? This is not it. Tonight, I believe the Lord wants us to respond in a way that He's calling you to. And stop me if I'm going too long, okay? But we were on Friday, we were at a meeting with Andrew, like Leonard said. And by Friday morning, we were buggered, okay? We were moch. And I got there feeling like a zombie. And it's like I couldn't take anything in, it felt like, anymore. And Andrew was starting to speak. And it was the weirdest feeling. It felt like as he was preaching, like my heart was being cut in two. That's what it felt like, man. And there was something like, oh man, I need to do something. Like, I don't know, like, should we repent? Should we shout? Should we? There was a response was needed, man. And if someone there had to ask me to lead worship, I would have just gone, ah! That's just what it felt like. Because there was no way that I could express, but there was something that, in Romans it said, sometimes we don't know what to pray, but we need to pray in the Spirit because He knows how to respond. And it feels like tonight there's going to be something like that, that you there's this struggle in us, like, what do I do? All right? I want to challenge you. Just do something that you feel the Lord is stirring you to do. And as it might take, for some of you, you need to cry tonight like you've never cried in your life. Deep groaning. All right? For some of you, we're going to need to shout tonight unto the Lord. The Lord loves that, by the way. He loves it when we shout. All right, but a response tonight that is applicable to what the Lord wants to come and do. He wants to. And I'm going to finish with this. Last week, we had a gift time with the Lord, okay? And there was a six-year-old boy in our congregation, first time in church. And since worship started, he just wept and wept and wept. And a six-year-old, he doesn't make this up, okay? And I know him, and I went to Sammy, what's up? He's like, well, my heart is just burning for, I think it's Jesus. Six-year-old, crying, and he lives across us in the street. Guess who brought his dad to church today? A six-year-old boy. Because he tasted of the Lord. He couldn't muster that up, but he's like, I think I saw Jesus. Okay, he's changed forever. And I think the Lord wants to do it for us tonight. And just really, as Leonard is stirring us, I just wanted to say, God, I want that. Okay, we can't produce it. I'm telling you, I'm not a muser. I can't do something tonight that's going to, okay, really not. But if you're hungry tonight and say, God, I want that, I promise you the Lord's going to come. He wants to, all right? And He can change you like He did for the six-year-old boy. Okay, I'm going to stop.
Cool. That's good. That's so good. Yeah. I'm not going to share my other stories. I think we're going to stop there. No, I think this is good. So I want to encourage you tonight. Would you just step out of your comfort zone? Would you just say, God, I'm angry, or at least I want to be angry. I want to see You tonight. My heart might not even be saying it, but God, I know I need You. And that You would just step outside of your comfort zone. It's not going to look like you think it's going to look. But it doesn't really matter. We had a braai with Rudolf the other evening, and Claudia was just saying that for her, the first time she started coming to church, it was super difficult for her just to raise her hand. She was saying it felt like when she raised her hand for the first time, everyone was looking at her. I don't know if you know that feeling. If you've ever raised your hand in church, it feels like, it just feels strange. It's like, oh, I'm going to do it because it's a step of faith, but it feels like everyone does this. Look, that's what it feels like, but why? Why should it be like that? Can I just ask you a question? Just quickly raise your hand. You can let it down. Was that difficult? No. Why in worship is it difficult? Why? It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be difficult. It's just a hand into the air. I've always thought of it like this. It's like when someone comes to me and points a gun at me, I'm going to say, hands up, I surrender. That's what I'm going to do. And in a sense, that's what I want to say to God. God, I surrender. Hands up. God, I surrender. This is outside of my comfort zone. But God, I surrender. I want to seek you tonight. Are you ready? This is one of those messages, you know. I felt like initially I wanted to preach this, like I wanted to preach. Come on, we need awe. And that is sort of what I'm doing. But I thought, you can't preach about it without experiencing it. That just sucks. This is something that needs to be experienced. You need to step out. This is not just the, ooh, that was a nice message. This is a, ooh, that was a challenging message. I'm going to do it now. I'm going to do it. Are you ready to do it? Okay. If you're not, I know there's grace. We'll take it slow. God is patient with you. But just take that one step of obedience, one step of faith tonight. Put yourself out of your comfort zone and say, God, tonight I just want to seek you. I just want to seek you.